This is Casey Currents. I'm Susan Wilson.
And I'm Sylvia Maria Gross.
Foreclosures were down about 25% in both Missouri and Kansas during the first quarter of 2012. But it's still common for banks to take more than a year to even begin the foreclosure process. This leaves a lot of owners and tenants in a limbo without legal guidelines. This week, Alex Smith has the story of a school teacher who's using this state of limbo to create a haven for artists.
About 3.5 years ago, school teacher Elizabeth Sherman moved into the carriage house of a mansion in Hyde Park. The mansion is a mostly stone Victorian shingle style built in 1903. She liked the old building, the neighborhood, and the friendly landlord who lived in the mansion itself. Little did she know how precarious her newly found home was. Sitting on the big porch on a warm spring afternoon, Sherman remembers when she found out about her landlord's financial problems.
About a year ago, he called me and let me know he was probably going to lose the property he had in Kansas City and he was going to leave town. I was worried about him when he called, so I said, should I come over? Should I bring a bottle of wine? You know, we're right next door. So I did, and we had a long talk, and he said, you know, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to give you a key to the house in case you want to use it for anything. You know, it's just going to be sitting empty here. So, you know, if you want to, I talked about, you know, maybe I would have an art opening or maybe I would have a party or something. And he said, oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. So I hope something good happens with it after I'm gone, he said.
Not only did Elizabeth Sherman have full use of a mansion, but with no landlord, she wouldn't have to pay rent. Figuring that anything too good to be true probably is, she went looking for advice.
My dad has some experience as a landlord-tenant attorney, so he was my first phone call when this all happened to figure out, because my landlord said, oh, you can stay, you know, it could be 6 months, it could be a year, it could be 2 years. But I was not sure about doing that until I actually talked to my dad, and he said, no, that sounds right to me. I think you will be all right. And he has a basement, a large basement.
a large finished basement
that wayward children could move into in a pinch also.
That second voice is Elizabeth's co-conspirator and sister, Valerie. The Shermans started small. They threw parties for friends, gave informal tours of the mansion, and set up a miniature golf course in the giant master bedroom. But in December of last year, the fun came to a stop when Elizabeth's gas and water were suddenly turned off. Along with the landlord, the mansion had housed a few tenants, and they'd left behind several months' worth of unpaid utility bills.
People had left huge bills, $700, $800 bills at both places. But I wasn't paying rent anymore, so I just started making payments to them instead. And I think I still owe the water company $200. But other than that, I got everything paid up so that they would come out and turn all the utilities on. The problem when they tried to turn the water on was that we realized that somebody had broken in and stolen all the copper. Pipes, the air conditioner, coil that was copper, all the water heaters they had stolen. So they were afraid to turn the water on because they didn't know what, you know, where it was going and if it would just make a huge mess. But a friend of a friend who was a plumber came out and ran a line from where the water comes into the mansion across the basement and back out to where it went into my place, a separate line.
Part of Elizabeth's tour now includes a stop in the basement where the copper thieves broke in. From the bottom of a dark, musty stone stairwell, you can see where they came in through a basement door window. She reported the break-in and robbery to the police, who came to investigate.
They got to take a tour of the mansion to look for the, you know, to make their report about the missing copper. They were really interested in the place, and I got to tell them all about it. And they said, oh, would you mind if we, you know, hang out on the porch for a little while some evenings, just so we can keep an eye on things, and it's a really good place right here in Armour to kind of, you know, check things out and see what's happening in the neighborhood. And I said, yeah, that would be fine. I don't mind at all having my own little personal security detail for a little while.
When the police asked Elizabeth what she was doing on the property, she showed them her old lease and explained the situation. And that was good enough for the police to let her stay.
Apparently, in this brave new world of foreclosures, this is not as odd as it might have been years back. I mean, it was clear I didn't have a real motive for, you know, I showed them where I live, and I'm here, I've been here. It was not as odd as I thought, either with the police or with the utility companies. They've been dealing with a lot of situations like this, I think, in the last few years. But nobody's really been concerned about that. I mean, I feel like in the city and in this neighborhood, which is sort of on the edge of being stable and being settled, people are happy if someone's there keeping things up and not selling drugs, which that's what I've been doing. Keeping things up and not selling drugs. This is a dark walk, like, down there and around the corner.
On a tour, you can see not just the original design of the mansion, but over 100 years of renovations and updates. Nearly every decade of the past century of home design can be found at some place in the mansion. One room looks like the set for The Great Gatsby. The one next to it is straight out of The Brady Bunch. In the basement, the electrical system has been updated many times, but the old gear was never removed. What's left behind is practically a museum of obsolete fuse boxes and electrical systems. There's even a coal bin. Valerie explains this room has surprisingly turned out to be one of the most popular in the mansion.
What we have on the corner, the best, the largest on-off switch ever known to man. This thing is like as big as my head. It looks like something that Frankenstein would use to bring something back to life.
When I was, this is Elizabeth, when I was bringing people on tours, I did not realize that the on-off switch would be such a draw. But many people want to get their picture taken with the on-off switch because it's just so comically delicious.
Starting on May 11th, Elizabeth and Valerie are starting a series of weekly arts events called the Month of Muses. The first is an exhibit of local artists' works called Tomorrowland. Valerie reads the call for work they've sent out to artists.
Today the news is filled with gloom and doom, especially after years of recession. But such darkness also pervades our visions of tomorrows, from the zombies of The Walking Dead to the dystopia of The Hunger Games. Whatever happened to utopia? Former Kansas City resident Walt Disney looked with optimism and enthusiasm toward the future, saying, "Tomorrow will be better for as long as America keeps alive the ideals of freedom and a better life." Is Walt's attitude outdated or just out of fashion? How do you see the land of tomorrow?
Elizabeth and Valerie Sherman would like to continue their arts events, but for now, they're planning just 1 month at a time.
What I've been told is that whenever the bank gets around to noticing the house, they will have to give me 30 days' notice. So that's part of the reason we were putting off planning events, because we didn't want them to be a lot more than 30 days in advance, and we kept our fingers crossed. We should be good with that now.
But Elizabeth says she's still hopeful. It's not uncommon for a foreclosing bank to ask a tenant to stay on to serve as caretaker, even after the property has been repossessed. For Casey Currents, this is Alex Smith.
If you can't listen to all of Casey Currents today, catch what you missed online in our audio archives. And we've got a podcast. Find us on iTunes.